Sean Patrick Maloney, tell me about your expectations for the new speaker, Paul Ryan. We've talked to a number of congressional representatives who say, well, you know, he's a decent guy. But personally, you know, some of the things he stands for are a little bit worrisome. Is that your perspective?
Look, I'm not worried about him standing for things or whether he's a decent guy or not. I mean, I know him. I work out with him sometimes at the House gym. You know, sure, he's a fine guy. Here's the thing. His job is to get things done. If in the past he has been able to have a sort of grand vision as chairman of the Budget Committee and not actually move legislation, those days are over. And so when I see him say we're taking immigration off the table because I can't, quote-unquote, trust the president, that's very disappointing to me. We have things that we need to do, and we can't sit around and wait a year and a half for another election. You know, we need to move the highway bill, as we're doing, thank goodness. We need to invest in our own people. We need to reform our tax code. We need to fix our broken immigration system. We need to address climate change. I mean, we certainly need to fight this war against ISIS terror. We've got to work together, and that involves moving legislation, and that's messy. You know, you got to get your uniform dirty if you want to actually be in this game, and that's his new job. And so I just think the jury's out. I mean, they took some of the tough fights off his plate by moving the debt ceiling thing past the election and moving the budget showdowns into the future. He will have a couple of tests towards the end of the year around actually appropriating the money we agreed to in the budget numbers. He's going to have to work through these problems. And he's going to have to engage in a way he hasn't had to in the past.
You mentioned the transportation funding, the rail safety. Tell us more about that.
Well, we passed a very good highway bill out of the committee and on the floor. It has critical investments for New York, about $325 billion total, about $20 billion for New York. I wrote legislation that will open about $1 billion in additional funding for our most important roads and bridges, you know, these little county bridges and local bridges that are not getting fixed right now. There will be new funding for that and more local control, by the way. With respect to the oil trains, we've done a number of important things in addition to authorizing more money for grade crossing safety and putting real teeth in real deadlines for the implementation of safety technology, what's called positive train control. There are also real teeth in this bill to make sure the new regulations around better rail cars that are less likely to blow up, that are jacketed, that can sustain high temperatures longer, better braking systems, a lot of things that will make our oil trains safer, that will make our commuter trains safer, a lot of things to invest in our roads and our bridges. It's a good bill. It's not perfect, but it's the kind of thing we should be focused on.
We all talk about, and you've talked about a lot, you know, the need for more compromise. How do you get this one through?
Well, look, this is something that Republicans and Democrats ought to be able to agree upon. Unfortunately, it has taken too long, and it is still not robust enough. But I give a lot of credit to the committee chairman, Bill Schuster from Pennsylvania, a Republican who has worked in good faith with the Democrats, who has helped people like me get my legislation into this bill. You know, we've actually been able to do things in this bill that will help the Hudson Valley. That's how it ought to work. And so you got a very good chairman, and we've waited so darn long, we basically, you know, run out of other options. So, you know, I wouldn't give us too much credit, but the important thing is we're getting this bill done.
But it works here. It worked here, but it doesn't work in other substantive areas that have also waited a long time. I mean, there are an awful lot of people in the House, Republicans, who don't want to see Obama get any victories. And this is going to be perceived as being good for Obama.
Yes, that's right. And it's a very important measure for America. I mean, we should be a little less concerned with, you know,
who gets the credit, red team
or blue team, and what matters. I mean, the fact of the matter is, we know we aren't investing enough in our infrastructure. We know we aren't investing in our own country. And that's costing jobs, and it's creating delays in traffic, and it's creating safety issues. When it comes to the oil trains, it makes more dangerous the shipments up and down the Hudson River. And we got to get off the dime on this. We are in a globally competitive world. We are growing at 2%. We should be growing at 3.5%. We need to create jobs. We need to bring back manufacturing. All of these things require smart investments in our infrastructure. I mean, I think we should have a capital budget for the United States, and we should stop lumping everything together with our operating expenses. No business would do that. We should have our operating budget in balance, and we should make investments in a capital budget that builds wealth and builds great infrastructure for today and tomorrow.
I want to spend a few minutes on the future of Indian Point. Boy, that's a tough one for you, representing your area. It should have closed down, right?
Well, I've supported closing it from the get-go, and I applaud the governor for the measures he's taking along those lines. It doesn't absolve any of us who say it's nuts to have an active nuclear power station in this densely populated area. It doesn't absolve us who want to see it transitioned out to answer the questions of where's the power coming from, what are we doing about the jobs and the economy and in Buchanan and Peekskill. Those have to be addressed. If you look at other models where they have transitioned away from a nuclear power source to an alternative power source, natural gas or something else, you can preserve the jobs. You can, in fact, create jobs in the short term on the conversion work, and we can replace the power. There are a number of other sources coming online in the Hudson Valley. I have some measures in Congress that would help people conserve energy, which is the best kind of the best kind of generation we can do is to use less. Things like property assessed clean energy, where you can make efficiency improvements, put them on your tax bill, finance them over time, and it can pass with the deed. There are good ideas out there that scale and that will make a big difference. But none of us should be satisfied putting our kids to bed at night in the shadow of a nuclear power station in the heart of the Hudson Valley. We would never have built it here today. We can solve the power issues and the employment issues, but over time we should shut it down.
And your constituents, do they seem to understand why it needs to be shut down?
You know, some do, some don't. You know, you don't do this job by unanimous consent.
Right.
You put your name on a ballot and you say, here are my ideas, and you go out and you do them. I think most of the people who are opposed to shutting it down have legitimate concerns. This isn't some ideological fight. This is, look, people are worried about whether their energy costs are going to go up. They're worried about whether, we're going to actually do more damage with carbon emissions from a non-nuclear source. They're worried about things like the jobs of all the people who work down there. I get that. Those are important concerns, and I believe we can work through those, but we should not be comfortable having an aging nuclear power station here in the heart of the Hudson Valley.
Representative Sean Patrick Maloney, Democrat of New York's 18th District, in office since 2013. Thanks for all the time, Sean. When we come back the next time, I got a whole bunch of questions of things you're doing, okay?
You bet.